you call that radio? This is the news. Good afternoon. It's season 4, episode 25 of You Call That Radio's audio podcast. And this episode is dedicated to anyone who's ever lost their house keys when they live alone, and then they've had to couch surf for a couple of days till they figured things out. And then it turned out they were going to have to replace the door, and it was going to cost hundreds of pounds. So then they drove to the Kingdom of Fife to get a spare set of keys, and on the way back left their phone and their robo-snout on top of the car. And then realised after the car moved, they heard the noise on the roof, grabbed the phone, get back in the car, and then laugh. How silly would that have been? Imagine we hit the roundabout and we just heard my phone or the person's phone falling down. But then we did hear a noise at the roundabout, and it was a 50 or 60 pound vape, £50 worth of liquid nicotine. But so if you the robo-snout's now roadkill robo-snout. If you find it, you can keep it. I've got a new one now, still off the smokes, but still on the vape. It's the best I can do just now. But aye, this is it's been a good week. I've finally got internet back, so expect a lot more stuff on the YouTube live streams. I've still been doing the live streams, but they've been quite difficult because the internet has been so bad. And this has been an ongoing thing, you know, since living abroad, moving house so many times. But I feel like it's back. So expect a lot more live streams on the YouTube channel. And that means, by default, you're going to get more audio podcasts on here. But yeah, this is the news. So this is what we do. It's kind of the last 4 months, I think, we've done this now. But it's just a roundup of the news from the previous month. And it's been quite a month. We've got a CEO killer uniting the United States of America. So popular that the guy could maybe run for president. Wild times. So we start off with that, and then we're going to go into the farmers in Starmer. Jeremy Clarkson is Nigel Farage on wheels. That's part two. Then part three is Drake would like to speak to the manager. That's about how the biggest hip-hop star in the world is suing Kendrick Lamar because Kendrick Lamar hurt his feelings. And then we're going to go and talk about Donald Trump, but more specifically, a question I got from somebody I went to school with who was talking about Make Ayrshire Great Again. And we're going to talk about how I don't think that Trump is going to make Ayrshire great again, and I don't really think that he's going to drain any swamps anytime soon, anywhere. And finally, we'll talk about, was the Mike Tyson fight rigged? We'll have a wee chat about that, Jake Paul, Mike Tyson, and all that. And do you know that all this news adds up exactly to 1 hour, which is just a bit of a fluke. But I would love to hear your comments on it. Do you want to hear my opinions? Because I know sometimes people don't agree with my opinions, and I think I should just stick to music. Should I just keep this channel for the interviews on You Call That Radio? Or do you not mind a wee rant once a month where I talk about my opinions? Remember, here, my opinions, I don't know anything. I make it up as I go along. My opinions change. I just have opinions. So don't get offended if you disagree with me. And I'm happy to be corrected if I say anything wrong. But I just want to have a laugh and talk about the news. It's a wee bit serious, a wee bit funny. But maybe I should create my own podcast, a different podcast for that. Let me know what you think. I don't know how you do that. If you're on Spotify, actually, you can leave a comment. So if you're listening to Spotify, please leave a comment. If you're on Apple, you can leave a review, a 5-star review, if you're feeling generous. And that's it. There is no adverts on this show. There's no sponsorship. There's no funding. So it's just going to be pure podcast. Thanks to the patrons at patreon.com/You Call That Radio. So if you enjoy the show, please consider supporting the show. And patrons as well, a wee notice to the patrons. You've got discount codes to pick up if you log into your Patreon. We've got discount codes to the Gyro Babies album launch on March the 29th, which is called Dreams Are Mental. It's 90% complete. I'm very excited for you to hear it. We played some of the new songs for the first time last week, doing the Alabama 3 after party. It was great fun. Also coming up, we've got a wee party on Boxing Day. It's going to be Christmas jumpers, turkey sandwiches, and my favourite wee pub in the south side. And yeah, come along to that. And then Loki's got his album launch on the 28th of December. It's his last ever album launch. It's called Not Funded by Creative Scotland. I've heard it. It's amazing. So all the gigs that I mentioned, patrons get a big discount. So go on to your Patreon to get the discount code. And yeah, thank you for supporting us. And if you don't support it, if you're skint and you just like the show, thank you for tuning in. It does mean a lot. And this is the news. This is December. It's December the 13th. So this is basically the stuff that's happened over the last month that I've managed to record my thoughts on. Enjoy the show. Bye.
And is there a way we can do something like that? Like injection inside or
radio. You call that radio?
The fact that a guy shot a CEO dead in the streets of Manhattan. He got away with it for 5 days. He got a bike to an electronic bike, then he disappeared into a bus, and he was 250 miles away. But he went for a Big Mac, and because he went for a Big Mac, he got caught with the murder weapon and a manifesto and a handwritten letter of guilt. So I don't know if he wanted to get caught or he just really wanted a Big Mac, but he was just stoating about it. He got caught big time, but his lawyer says that he's pleaded not guilty. The entire world is seemingly on his side, which is mental. The left and the right have been united and been pro-assassination, which has never happened before on any topic. And that's just how unpopular insurance companies are in the United States of America. And it does affect us over here on the other side of the pond, because the way NHS is going, is this is our future that we have to look forward to, where you pay a lot of money for insurance and then when you need the insurance, they reject your claim. And that's what we're talking about today. It's inspired lots of talk about corporate greed. It's inspired talk about the unfairness of insurance companies. It's inspired a lot of memes, a lot of conspiracy theories. And we're just going to try and do a roundup of everything that's happened in the last week, and then I'm going to give my opinion, and then you can give your opinion, because you call that radio, so it's your call when you call that radio, so I always like to hear what you've got to say in the comments.
You call that radio.
If you're listening to audio podcasts, we're just looking at the footage here of, you know, it looks like the gun was a 3D printed gun. See, at this point we thought it was some sort of hitman, but this guy is an IT guy who 3D printed his gun. Not only were people, 99% of people were for this underdog getting away with it, which is, I've never seen that before. But not only was everyone up for that, but half the internet fell in love with that killer smile. And then other pictures appeared where he's got his tap off, and he's obviously been making gains in the gym, so we're getting compliments on his physique. And there's this one, that's quite a famous picture as well. Hi Joe! I think that was him in an Uber. Luigi Mangione. And then he starts shouting here.
Luigi, Joe, and completely out of touch, and it's an insult to the intelligence of the American people, and it's a lived experience!
So something about insulting the intelligence of the American people. Stage is looking a bit guilty because he's allegedly got the weapon on him. He's got the admission of guilt, and he's got a manifesto. And then he's shouting about insurance companies as he's getting dragged into court. But then, to my surprise, his lawyer says he's pleading not guilty. So let's see this.
I haven't seen any evidence that says that he's the shooter. So that's, you know, like I said earlier, and I wasn't kidding around, a couple of things. If you're going to report something, report it accurately. And remember, and this is not just a small thing, the fundamental concept of American justice is the presumption of innocence, and until you're proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And I've seen zero evidence at this point.
So, I mean, I don't know if you want that guy to do the entire case, but this is the Pennsylvania case. You'll need to go to New York for the other case. But he literally says, I haven't seen any evidence that he's guilty. I've not seen any evidence of guilt. And so that means that if allegedly it is true, he's got the weapon, he's got the ID, the fake IDs, it looks like the guy, they're gone for not guilty. And why not? Because if it's a jury, then the jury could just find him innocent. Because it's going to be hard to find 12 people that haven't been screwed over by American healthcare. Okay, so this is the total revenue of United Health Group from 2007 to 2023. In 2007, it was a paltry £75 billion. Last year, 2023, was £371 billion. So 300 billion is 300,000 million. 300,000 million. We can't even get our head around that kind of money. They could practically make 400,000 millionaires. It may even be more. My maths might not be able to handle it. We are not designed, our brains are not designed to handle that amount of money. It's a lot of money. So United Healthcare's denial rate is 32%. So for people that maybe don't understand how the healthcare system in the USA works, you pay for insurance in case you get sick, and then when you get sick, United Healthcare says no. Computer says no. And they are winning the league of greed, which is 32%. Medicus 27, Anthem's 23, Athena's 20, CareSource is 20, and I think it goes down from there. So 32%. So Brian Thompson, the CEO that got shot, he would have been very popular with the shareholders, because no, he's reject. They're making almost $400 billion a year by rejecting 32% of the claims, which is claims from people who are paying a lot of money for insurance. As old Chris Rock joke says, insurance is in case shit happens. But there's a very famous phrase in the insurance world, and it's delay, deny, defend. And the delay thing is the most horrible part of it, because if someone's really sick and you delay their claim and their appeal, then they're going to die anyway. It's disgusting. When you're rejecting over a third of the claims, then that means there's so many people who have either been involved in this, who have been knocked back in the past, or they've got friends or family members who have been ripped off and killed. So, as far as I'm concerned, Brian Thompson getting him shot. We're on YouTube here, so I'm not condoning that. But you can see their point. You can see why everyone's pissed off and nobody is shedding a tear, apart from like Ben Shapiro in that. I mean, Ben Shapiro and a few of the Fox News guys and a few of the Newsweek guys on the right, but their viewers are not listening to it. They're trying to turn it into a left versus right thing. And nobody's falling for this one, because both people on the left and right can see with their own eyes that this is an absolute scam. And it's estimated about 10,000 people a month die as a result of these greedy policies. So that makes the CEO a mass murderer. There's no other way to put it. And that's why everybody's quite rightfully angry. And the positives that are coming from this is that everybody is now talking about a serious thing that the news would never touch in a million years. So, the positive effect of this assassination so far has been that everybody is talking about a very serious subject that affects everyone in the USA. The second thing that's happened as positive is there was one of the healthcare providers was going to put a time limit on anaesthetising the patient. So they're saying, no, when doctors don't give you free anaesthetic, but they were going to say, no, there's a time limit on that, which was going to cause a lot of pain to people and possibly death as well. So one of the healthcare providers was supposed to be bringing out this new rule last week, and they walked it back the very next day. They went, maybe this is not a good time to try and save a few pence on the pound since the whole world is watching. Thirdly, you've got CEOs taking their name off their websites. They're having to spend a lot more money in beefing up their security. And for the first time ever, these people, these millionaires, who normally have no consequences for their actions, are actually quite scared about what's going forward. And considering all the fear, considering they make all their money based off the fear of normal, hard-working Americans, I don't see that as a negative at all. The one thing that is quite interesting, though, is while he was the mysterious man, before he went for the Big Mac, he was getting away with it for 5 days. But before he went for that Big Mac, maybe he wanted to get caught, or maybe he was hungry. You know, he started the whole day off with a Starbucks, and he ends being on the run for 5 days by going for a McDonald's. Maybe this is a... I mean, he did leave an entire rucksack full of Monopoly money. So, you know, he seems like quite a funny guy. So maybe that was the whole point, to say something about capitalism. You know, start your day with a Starbucks, end with a McDonald's, and shoot a CEO in the middle. But the more you learn about the guy, you realise that he's an IT nerd that goes to the gym. You know, he shares things from Elon Musk. He read the Steve O book. All this stuff's coming out now. So it just seems like quite a normal middle class, well, upper middle class. I think his parents are very wealthy. I think that they own care homes and stuff like that. But it just shows you the power of a back injury. And I've had loved ones close to me screaming in agony during the back injury. But somebody with all this money at his disposal, a big future, went to a fancy college and stuff like that. He felt the rage. He felt that enough was enough based on it. But I get the feeling that he just likes a Starbucks coffee and he likes a McDonald's. But healthcare's where he draws the line, and then he'll shoot the CEO. And so I think a lot of left people are like, well, maybe he's not the great left-wing hope that they thought he was. And people on the right wing are going, well, he's maybe not the QAnon patriot that they hoped he was. But I think that even though he seems a bit confused with what his point is and stuff like that, I think it's quite good, because this is not a person that you would normally profile to do something like this. And he just seems like a normal person in America, with some confused political views. He thinks that's good, he thinks that's bad. I don't think that the majority of people are going to agree with him on the rest of his politics, but I think everyone will still be united against the fact that he shot a CEO because he had a sore back, but he might not have, because as his Better Call Saul lawyer said, he's pleading not guilty, and was it jury nullification it's called? Jury nullification, the process whereby a jury in a criminal case effectively nullifies a law by acquitting a defendant regardless of the weight of evidence against him or her. And my understanding is that could just be that they don't believe in the law, they don't believe in the way that the prosecution is attacking the defendant. And it's going to be hard to find. They're going to need to find 12 people that don't know about jury nullification, because that means they can just find them not guilty, even if they think they did it. And that would be wild if that happened. And obviously, they can't allow that to happen, because that will inspire a whole bunch of copycat killings. You know, this, I mean, America's terrible for the school shootings and the copycats. But here is actually somebody who's went mad, and everyone's applauded them. It's crazy. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen so many people united by it. And also for the CEO who was just doing his job or whatever, it turns out that he's also been was getting done for insider trading worth £120 million. So he also had enemies. So maybe more will come out. Maybe there is something more to it. Maybe it is down to his insider trading. But that is absolutely terrible to even mention that. And it's crazy how bad the American system is now, is that there's people that are actually middle to upper class that are getting a sore back, hurting their back, and just saying this isn't fair. And 3D printing a gun, taking out a CEO, and then just committing the perfect crime, disappearing for 5 days, and then ruining it by going into a McDonald's, and everyone knows McDonald's is full of grasses. And here, I'm no perfect myself, do you know what I mean? I occasionally have a Big Mac. Sometimes when we're touring, we're on the road, you're hungry, your driver wants a Big Mac, and you're like, well, I'm going to have a Big Mac as well. But I try and avoid eating McDonald's, but sometimes there's no option, especially if you're travelling on the road. You know, there's no Ma and Pa shops on the motorway. You've got to pick McDonald's, Burger King, or KFC. And even if you want to just get a sandwich for a supermarket, it's Sainsbury's or a Marks and Spencer's. There is no lunch of morality you can have on the motorway. I'll say you shouldn't be shooting people, but you can understand exactly where everybody's coming from in this one. But let me in the comments if you agree or you disagree. It's your call on You Call That Radio. Like, subscribe if you enjoyed it, and especially leave a comment, because I'd like to hear your opinion on it all. Bye. Radio. So all the farmers voted for Brexit because of Nigel Farage, and now they're all protesting alongside Jeremy Clarkson, who's basically Nigel Farage on wheels. So let's see what's happening.
So it's not about you, it's not about your farm and the fact that you bought a farm to avoid inheritance tax.
Classic BBC there, classic. Oh yeah, it's not the fact that I bought a farm to avoid inheritance tax, the fact.
You told the Sunday Times in 2021 that's why you bought it.
You people.
First of all, he gets more and more like Alan Partridge every day. Clarkson's got some sort of basically, Clarkson's got some sort of dairy scam. Sorry, dairy farm on the go. He's got a farm and a scam on the go where he doesn't have to pay inheritance tax. So this is a new thing brought over by Labour, which says if you own land worth more than £1 million, you've got to pay 20% tax, which is actually discounted from 40% that it should be. So it sounds like a good deal. It sounds like the farmers are getting a good deal. Over the years, things like ATOS, austerity, shutting down community centres, libraries, swimming pools, it's been the poorest who have had to suffer the most because of the banking crisis in 2008. This is probably one of the first times I've heard of anyone with a bit of money getting taxed a bit more. And it doesn't go far enough at all, in my opinion. But if you own an estate worth more than £1 million, then you pay 20% tax instead of 40% tax. It seems like a good... Now, I can't say I'm an expert on agricultural issues, but I did get shot at by a farmer with a gun of some description when I was about 10 years old because I was running a bit of field. And I've also spent most of the last 20 summers on farmlands of some sort for music festivals. I like eggs. I like cheese. I like chicken. So I've got a lot of respect for the farmers who actually do work. And there's farmers that actually work really hard and they want to pass it on to their children. I can see their point of view. But I think they've made a massive error in letting Jeremy Clarkson, who is Nigel Farage on wheels, do a press campaign to try and drum up public sympathy. There's not much public sympathy left. Everybody's skint. The price of gas and Leckie's through the roof. People can't afford to go out anymore. People can't afford to eat or heat. And this guy is blatantly on telly talking about how it's going to be inconvenient for him because now he's going to have to put everything into a trust, which is another grey loophole for people like him to avoid paying tax. As the public services crumble, the NHS is on its knees and he's worried about having to fill out a form. I mean, I don't know what goes into doing a trust, but I think you need to fill out a form. So it's a bit inconvenient. As somebody who hates filling out forms, I can relate to that. But I can't relate to Jeremy Clarkson and Jeremy Clarkson's annoying. He's an annoying toff. Nobody's going to care. Nobody cares. Won't someone please think of the millionaires? And maybe there's a middle ground whereby legitimate farmers could maybe avoid doing this, paying this thing, and just sort of crack down on the people that are blatantly doing that. As he admitted in the Sunday Times that he's just doing it as an avoidance scheme. So maybe you could crack down on the tax avoidance rather than the legitimate farmers. But if you're a farmer and you're owning land worth £3 million, then your kids can just, you know, I mean, the price of the land, the price of the value of houses is through the roof. So just, like, pay the inheritance tax like everyone else. That's what I think. I just don't have enough sympathy in me today. I don't have enough sympathy in me to care about Jeremy Clarkson having to pay tax. I don't have enough sympathy in me that he might have to fill out a form to find another legal loophole. I just don't care enough about Jeremy Clarkson. And it's nothing to do with the farmer shooting at me when I was 10 years old. I shouldn't have been in the field. And it was probably just a pellet gun anyway. So I don't hold grudges like that. I remember Jeremy Clarkson getting sacked. And then they were saying it was political correctness going mad. But did he no punch a guy? Because they didn't give him the right sandwich or something. And he was kind of like, is political correctness gone mad? What kind of country is it where you can't punch a guy in the face for getting your dinner rang? Great Britain ain't so great anymore. And speaking of sandwiches, the kind of people who like Jeremy Clarkson are also the kind of people who like reading the Daily Mail, who have actually got a thing today whereby what they're saying to it, that Gen Z, apparently they're woke now because they don't have ham and mustard sandwiches anymore. I think the definition of woke has been bastardised to a whole new level now. Now, anyone who uses the word woke without a shred of irony needs to go in the bin. It's woke to not have ham and mustard. I mean, I would say mustard is a bit spicy. Surely any kind of spicy food is woke. I bet you Jeremy Clarkson thinks it's woke that he has to pay his tax. That is woke. It's woke that he's got to his kids, who didn't even earn the money, are going to have to pay a little bit of tax to help the NHS, which is on its knees. But people wanting to save the NHS is all so woke now. It's all woke. So in summary, yeah, I looked at it. I can't really find any sympathy for millionaire, tax-avoiding, fecal-deco farmers. I just don't have enough sympathy or empathy. There's nothing left. I don't have it. I've got nothing left. I've got nothing left for them. I couldn't give a shit. And I don't think the majority of people will care. If the government does a U-turn on this one, then it's a joke. Considering they're still refusing to admit that there's a genocide happening. And if you care about genocide, that's also woke as well. It's all woke. It's all woke. But anyway, that's the news. Now, this is the bit where most people would say, like, subscribe, and join my Patreon at patreon.com/youcallthatradio. But that's something that I would never, ever, ever do.
One, two. Yo, this is Charlie Tuna from Jurassic 5 live and direct here in Glasgow, Scotland, and you call that radio?
Kendrick dropped an album, but it's not what you think it is. More on that later. But as a result of this release, Lil Wayne threw a strop on Twitter. Snoop Dogg apologised for being stoned. And Drake would like to speak to the manager. This is the news on You Call That Radio.
You Call That Radio.
Drake the type to sue his own label when he loses a rap battle. Sounds like a joke, but it's actually a thing. All Drake had to do was go quiet for a few months and then drop a pop hit and everyone would move on. There's no shame in losing to one of the greatest rappers of all time, but his ego will not allow it. Certified lawyer boy now claims that he didn't lose the battle, and instead it was bots of Universal that made it look like he lost. I mean, that is nonsense, man, for a start. People are singing Not Like Us word for word, like it's the national anthem. The streaming numbers is all he has. He's never had the respect of true lyricists, so losing the battle with the streams is really getting to him. It's all he had left. And now Kendrick's playing the Super Bowl, and it's killing him. So much so that he's actually decided to go to Australia on tour at the same time. But it's an interesting court case, because if this doesn't get thrown out or settled, then it could be very interesting. Because there's no doubt that major labels do have shady practices. And I think the reason that Drake is so sure of bots, shady Spotify deals, and reactors being paid is probably because Universal normally does that for him. So there's a chance that this could blow everything wide open. Some of the industry secrets could get out there, stuff that the underground isn't really privy to. So what's he actually doing? Does he believe this? I feel like he might want to get dropped at this stage. My understanding is he was paid hundreds of millions of dollars up front. So if Universal were to drop him, he could make a lot of money going to a rival or even as an independent artist. So I hope he's got some sort of long-term goal. He's playing a bit of 4D chess, because right now it just looks like he's raging that he get beat. And he did get beat. There's no doubt about it. He got beat fair and square. But he's just so raging that he's willing to sue his own label just because he's in a huff. And because nobody plays Not Like Us in the clubs that he attends, because he's probably got yes men that go in front of him and make sure that the DJ knows Drake's coming along, do not play Not Like Us. And I'm sure that all his yes men are saying, oh man, you won the battle. Or he's got, you know, super fans that are saying, no, you won the battle. And he's still kind of in a denial stage, is what I think's happening. But there could be more going on that I'm not aware of. But speaking of denial, Lil Wayne has thrown the toys at the pram as well, due to the opening track on Kendrick's new album. Is it an album? We'll get to that in a little minute. But Kendrick said, miss my uncle Lil Wayne. He said he would kill me if I didn't make it. Now I'm possessed by a spirit and they can't take it. Used to bump the Carter 3. I held my rolly chain proud. Irony. I think my hard work let Lil Wayne down. And that's obviously a reference to a few things. It's another stray for J. Cole, who did a song called I Let Nas Down. Because he later on goes to say that Nas was the only one that congratulated him on getting the Super Bowl. But this was obviously too much for Lil Wayne, who has been saying that he felt really hurt that he wasn't playing the Super Bowl. So let's just have a little look at the tweet. Man, what the fuck do I do? Man, what the fuck do I do? I just be chilling and they still come from my head. Let's not take kindness for weakness. Let this giant sleep. I beg you all. No one really wants destruction, not even me. But I shall destroy if disturbed on me. Love. So Lil Wayne is actually so upset and hurt by the Super Bowl that he's trying to make it like Kendrick's like, I don't think Kendrick actually made a diss there at all. I don't think it was a straight out and out diss. But I think Lil Wayne is so hurt that I think that maybe a diss is coming. I think Lil Wayne will be in the studio trying to come up with something. I really think that would be a terrible idea for Lil Wayne. He's not the star he used to be. He's not the writer he used to be. And that's sad, man. Because it took me a while to respect Lil Wayne. I didn't understand it, but now I would actually rate him as a god-tier lyricist. For a while, I'd only really heard the chart hits, didn't understand the hype, but I'll admit that I was wrong on that one. His back catalogue and features are outrageous. Also, I've seen loads of behind-the-scenes footage of the way that he puts music together, how he doesn't write it down, and how he just records it. It's just a breath of fresh air. But that was in the past. There's no way that he can say that he deserves to play the Super Bowl more than Kendrick, who's the biggest rapper in the world right now. He's not on that level anymore. And it's a shame, because he's a genuine character in hip-hop. But come on. And it's not just the fame, the level of fame he's at now. But if I was Jay-Z or someone in the committee that decides who plays the biggest show on earth, I certainly wouldn't be booking Lil Wayne for many reasons. If you just look at his recent WrestleMania performance, you've got to watch that and say, this guy is a liability. You know, from a booker's point of view, you can't put Lil Wayne on the stage as the main attraction at the Super Bowl, which is the highest rated, I think only second to the World Cup final. So, and this one every year, it's the biggest show, the biggest stage in the world. And look at that Lil Wayne footage of a recent performance at WrestleMania. You can't do that. You can't make him the main act to do the Super Bowl half times. And I think most of his hits are probably not suitable for family stuff either. But New Orleans is Lil Wayne's home city, so that is why he feels like he's been overlooked. It obviously means a lot to him. So it would be amazing if Kendrick did somehow pick up the phone and invited him out to do a verse. It would mean a lot to him. It'd mean a lot to the crowd. I'm sure the crowd would pop big time for a surprise verse from Lil Wayne. And it would also wind up Drake. So I can see it happening. I can actually see it would. There's a lot of people in hip hop who are taking the side of Lil Wayne in this one. So I think if Kendrick was to invite Lil Wayne out, then that would be the move to make. I think everyone would enjoy that. Now, K-Dot also name dropped Snoop Dogg for posting the Drake diss. Now, I don't actually remember him actually posting the diss, so can someone correct me in the comments? Has there been a Mandela effect? I remember watching a video of Snoop Dogg reacting to the Drake diss. So Drake had basically brought out a diss against Kendrick, which was an AI diss from Tupac and Snoop Dogg. And Snoop Dogg was kind of like, oh, I don't know what's going on, man. I don't know what's going on. And at the time, I did think it was a bit snide from Snoop Dogg, a bit snaky, that he didn't want to take sides. Because you would think that, you know, he passed the torch on as King of the West to Snoop Dogg passed it on to Kendrick. So you would think that he would take sides, or he would just say nothing. But I did get a bad vibe off of that video. But I don't remember him actually posting the tailor-made diss. So correct me in the comments if I'm wrong. I don't remember him actually posting the diss. But everybody's acting like it is. So, I don't know. Mandela effect? Is this a Mandela effect? I don't know. But Snoop responded. So, basically, Kendrick says in the diss, it's not really a diss, but what Kendrick says is, whatever though, call me crazy, everybody questionable, turn me to an Eskimo, I drew the line in decimals, Snoop posted tailor-made, I prayed it was the edibles, I couldn't believe it, it was only right for me to let it go, won the Super Bowl and Nas the only one to congratulate me. All these guys agitated, I'm just glad they're showing their faces. To which, you know, it was just a sort of a little poke at Snoop Dogg. To which Snoop Dogg responded with, 5-star, 5 mics, fire, the new Kendrick album is absolute fire. And it was the edibles. So Snoop Dogg quite clearly wants absolutely no part in that. Because Snoop Dogg is about the money. And some sort of beef with Kendrick would be a bad look, no doubt about it. Now, back to the album itself, GNX dropped with no promo on Friday night. It's getting good reviews for the most part, But some super fans are a bit disappointed there isn't the usual quadruple entendres or jazz sections, and it's maybe not as experimental as previous releases. Also seems a bit short. But that's because I do not believe this is the album. I think this is a mixtape, and the actual album will drop around Super Bowl time. I've got a few reasons for thinking this, but one, this is a straight up rap album. I think he wanted to show how easily he could make a West Coast banger using beats and MCs mostly from the Bay Area. He made something simple compared to his usual vibes, because he's following up from the unmitigated success of Not Like Us. He made some bangers for the street to shut people up who say he isn't capable of doing that. Of course he's capable of doing that. There's also a song on it called The Heart Part 6. And if anyone knows anything about Kendrick, he always releases a song called The Heart that usually comes out a couple of weeks or a couple of months before the album drops. So that suggests that this is just the hype for his new album that's coming out. Also like the fact that he just called it The Heart Part 6 and doesn't mention that Drake had a diss track called The Heart Part 6. He just ignored it completely and got on with his thing, which I thought was quite funny. I also suspect that many of these songs were prepared specifically for the Drake beef. I think Kendrick probably expected this to go back and forth a bit more, and I think he did say in previous songs that he had 4 or 5 more songs in the canon. So I think he was considering just dropping a Drake diss album. And I think he's just maybe rewritten a lot of it and just thought he'd put something out just to kind of follow up on the success of all these diss tracks and get the hype going for the Super Bowl and the real release at the start of the year, is what I think. But he thought he was going to have to do an album worth of tracks to beat Drake, but it became quite apparent from the moment he did his pop-up victory lap. It's obviously one, it's obviously Drake gave up. So I think he made the songs slightly more conceptual. He's nods and interpolations from the likes of Nas, Tupac, Marvin Gaye. It may even turn out that each song has a nod to one of the artists he grew up listening to from Generation X, hence the album title GNX. Also a play on words to a car he always wanted or something. I don't know much about cars, so I can't really say. But I do also think that Kendrick fans have a habit of looking a bit too deep. You know, like, the reason he shouts, "Mustard!" is because he is above all the beef now. And I just think he just shouts "Mustard" out of respect to Mustard on the beat, yo. His delivery, cadence, terrifying, great lyrics, some good hooks, catchy beats. But also the preview snippet featured music not even on the album. So mark my words, a fuller, richer, more complex album will be dropping around the Super Bowl. Lil Wayne may be a special guest, and Drake will be in Australia as he tries to pretend none of this is happening. Will you join me in congratulating the people of the USA for voting for Trump? Time to drain the swamp. No. No, I won't. Why would I do that? First of all, I think you went to school with my wee cousin. Are you in Old Fidurai or somewhere? I'm seeing a lot more of this. Look, it's bad enough that Americans think that Trump will improve their lives. I mean, obviously, if you're a millionaire American like Rogan or Elon Musk, then you're going to do quite well out of this. But not if you're for Ayrshire. Like, drain the swamp. I mean, up until a few weeks ago, were you not sharing the Stop the Steal memes? Do you think the deep state just forgot to rig this election? Did the swamp forget to rig this election? Do you think it's going to drain the swamp of North Ayrshire Council? I don't know, that might actually be... Yeah, it's North Ayrshire. I think it's North Ayrshire. So, Just ask yourself, how's it going to benefit you? Is he going to build a wall and breathe? Is there an influx of Mexicans sneaking into Kilbourne? Is there too many Colombian gangsters in Loch Winnick? I know you might just be a right-winger who likes making edgy jokes, but the jokes are over. The fun is over, and I'll be the first to admit there's been some hilarious memes over the years, but it's gone too far, and I'm sick of seeing his face and hearing his voice and having conversations like this about such a boring old man who was born into billions of dollars. He's not self-made, he's not your pal, and yet we need to listen to this pish for another 4 years, unless he dies, or JD Vance says he's not fit to run, and does a 1-2 buckle my shoe, and becomes a new president. And that could be worse. So the best we can hope for right now is he does fuck all and things stay as shite as they are right now. I don't see any world where there's going to be any tangible benefits to Ayrshire. And I know he's got a golf club or something down in Troon, but he didn't need to become president twice to open a hotel. Why? See, people that think that this guy's anti-establishment, how can you be a rich, white, old billionaire and become president twice and you still think this guy is anti-establishment? It doesn't get more establishment than being president of the United States of America, not once, but twice. And he had the hotel before he became president. So he didn't need to become president to open a hotel or a golf club in Troon. He didn't need to start an insurrection to open something in Troon. He didn't need to commit fraud or assault a woman to build a hotel in Troon. What did he do? So he was in power for 4 years. What did he do the last time he was president that made your life better? And the only reason that he's doing the job again is because he's trying to avoid going to jail. And the only comedy and memes that we can hope for is him inevitably falling out with Elon Musk. I think Elon Musk is probably already annoying him. So I'm sure they'll fall out, and then Elon Musk will try to turn Twitter against Donald Trump. And Joe Rogan will be refusing to talk about politics anymore. Joe Rogan will be saying, I don't do politics, I don't want to talk about it. I don't do politics in this show. I like to stay fair and balanced. Elon Musk is not your pal. Joe Rogan is not your pal. Donald Trump is not your pal. And when it all turns to shit and not one single obvious benefit is felt by the working class or the middle class of America, then everyone will just repeat the same talking points, that it's the previous office who left the place in such a mess. It's a tale as old as time. It's blame the previous guys. That's what the Tories got away with for 12 years. It's the number one way to gaslight your voters. It will not improve the lives of anyone unless you live in the USA and are already a millionaire. But I think if you live in Dorai or Kilbourne or anywhere in the Garnet Valley, then no. And I don't believe you are already a millionaire, so I have no idea why you think any of this could have a positive effect on your life. But thanks for your question. And hey, I've been wrong before. Because to be honest, I used to be quite good at predicting things. But politics has become so unpredictable now that I don't know. None of it makes any sense. And if I'm wrong, I'll just delete this video. Now, this is the bit where most people would say, like, subscribe, and join my Patreon at patreon.com/youcallthatradio. But that's something that I would never, ever, ever do. AJ from Newcastle's asking me if I think the fight between Mike Tyson and Jake Paul was rigged. So let's have a look. If you just... The chin was there for the taking. Yeah, I can see why a lot of people think it's rigged. But I'm going to go one stage further and think and tell you that I think that Mike Tyson actually won on points. Now, I know a bit about boxing. I've actually got a yellow belt in judo. I watched the fight live on a big screen, and I had my mobile phone there as well. So I was watching that on the little screen, so that the second angle, a second secret angle. And I think, it might be controversial, but I think that Tyson won on points. Hands down, fair and square. Nah, I'm only joking, he was shite, wasn't he? I don't actually believe that, but that's what the internet does these days. People make a very contrarian statement for clickbait, and they sound so sure of themselves. And even if they didn't believe that, they didn't believe that opinion, they just start adding up reasons why they might be right, and they start to convince themselves, and then they argue in the comments with anybody who dares bring new evidence to their attention. So to me, it seems likely that it could have been rigged. You know, they made it so that nobody gets knocked out, so everybody goes with their head held high, and everybody makes millions of pounds, or dollars. But also, I don't think we can rule out that Tyson was too old. He's an old man. He had some sort of blood emergency a few months ago as well. A medical emergency of some sort. So it could be that he was too old to knock him out. And it could also be that Jake Paul was too shite to knock him out. He couldn't get through Tyson's defence. But I think we can say it's most likely that it was rigged. But my argument is that to say that it might not have been, is if you're going to rig a fight, why not make it entertaining? That was a terrible fight. That was one of the worst matches I've ever seen. And from the moment Mike walked out, he looked off, and that could be because he wasn't feeling well, he wasn't feeling up to it, or it could be that he knew that he was selling out his legacy, but he's already said that he doesn't care about his legacy, he's just happy to get the money. But he looked off, so at no point did I think, oh, Mike Tyson's going to win this fight. And at no point did Jake Paul look particularly good. So, you know, boxing's become a bit of a joke these days with all these celebrity fights, and people are comparing it to WWE wrestling. But I watch WWE wrestling, and that tends to be a lot more entertaining, with a lot less money on the line for these compared to this match. You know, these guys have got steel chairs, real blood, and daft storylines that make it worth watching. Boxing's pish, unless you know for a fact both men are in it to win it. You know, you either need to know the boxer and relate to the boxer, understand their story, or you need to just be watching two people just going at it to win, as if their life depends on it. So my advice is to any of these YouTube boxers, retired fighters, or random celebrities, if you're going to rig it, make it entertaining. You know, like, take a hit and fall down to the nine count, and then just, oh, he's back, just in time. And give everyone like, oh, whoa, it was exciting. You know, the way that the wrestling has the three count, one, two, just made it. So I want to see, if you're going to rig the fights, fall down, you know, get up at the nine count. Maybe you could get your manager to distract the other guy And while you're distracted, the other guy comes in the taxi from behind. Something like that. Or just get yourself disqualified by suplexing the one guy into a table. The Mexican announcer's table, just suplex the cunt over the ropes into a table. Now, that'd be entertaining. But that's just, both of you's just doing that, then a wee bit of cuddling, and then doing that. Come on, man. You're actually putting people off paying for pay-per-views, and it is going to affect the real sport of boxing. It's kind of making everything a laughing stock. People are like, I've just spent 40 quid in that, and it's going to put them off paying for a legitimate boxing fight or a legitimate MMA fight. But, I mean, one thing's for sure is whoever actually does eventually knock Jake Paul out is going to be a national hero. An international hero. The world hates Jake Paul more than Benjamin Netanyahu. And that says more about mainstream culture than I ever could. So I probably was rigged, but it might not be rigged because it was so shite, is my view on it. And I hope Tyson enjoys his $20 million. And I hope Jake Paul's next shite's a hedgehog.